There is money in this country. And I'm telling you, until you collect your own, don't rest. People say bank don't give money. They give money, but they don't give something. You cannot help the poor by being one of them. Let that sink into you. Creating demand for your product and services is your sole responsibility. Nobody will do it for you. I don't believe you have to stay donkey years to be successful. I'm not part of that school of thought. I believe you can start and start making progress. Not that you make overnight success. Business is sweet. You can make good money doing business in this country. I'm not talking of another country. This same Nigeria that we are. This same economy that is hard. But you must understand that nobody will create demand for you. You have to create demand for your product by yourself. Do you know you can get a vision from God and the business he failed woefully if you refuse to do your part?
It's the Frankly Business Podcast, and it's time for business, ladies and gentlemen. But then, the business we're really all about is that if you look at the Nigerian business landscape, it's mostly MSMEs. More than 75% of businesses in this country are MSME-driven. And what that means is we have small businesses, lots of pockets of small businesses. And that is literally the anchor of the Nigerian economy. And let us look at how to really build small businesses. Ladies and gentlemen, today, you know how we bring, you know, we bring you trailblazers, people who have been there and they've done that. They've really given us what it takes to become a successful business entity or successful business leader. And today's guest, let me give you a hint. A lady, one. And this lady she's an experienced business and financial coach. She's played in the telecom sector, has a business in the telecom sector. But apart from that, she's really like a business coach, business and management coach. She's the CEO of Agunansi Nigeria Limited, aka Gidco Telecoms. And beyond that, she's also the lead coach of the Nancy Inandi Company. And she's trained over 5,000 entrepreneurs. What that means is she understands their pain points. She knows what it takes to be able to take your business from zero to one, and perhaps have that idea what it means for you to grow. But beyond that, she has a lot of flowers. She has a lot of accolades. She's been named the Business Leader of the Year by the Entrepreneur Award. One. Apart from that, she's also the recipient of the MTN Award as the best sub trade partner. And I told you that she's big in the telecom sector. Ladies and gentlemen, we have no other person, but Kelechi,
yeah,
can you do the intro?
Yeah,
unveil who our guest is.
No, but before I go to talk about who our guest is, yeah, I just want to throw more light on what the impact of small business in our, yeah, economy. So we're driving one day, and I said my father used to own a tire shop, where he goes to every morning and he tells people, "Come on.
Yeah,
buy tire." And I saw the business run down, and it impacted our livelihood. He couldn't meet up to some certain criteria. Yeah. So that shows you the impact of small business and how it trickles down to the family. Yeah. So for people that are watching, young people, and they say, "Oh, it doesn't concern me. I'm still in school, but your father might need it." Mm-hmm. "I'm still in school, but your mother might need it." So that's why we go out, we search for expert knowledge that they can consume this content, and when they go back home, they go and tell their mother, "Oh, Coach Nancy said this can help your business scale." And this is just free education. Yeah. So our guest today is no other person than Coach Nancy. I hope I did it justice.
Oh, thank you so much. And I love that your story. I love that story because it's peculiar to me too.
Yeah.
My mom did a lot of businesses. Not one. It will start to end up, close down, start, close up. At least, to my knowledge, did up to like 13 different businesses.
Oh, wow.
As a trader, and the issues that affected them then is still what is affecting people today. And all can be traced back to lack of structures and systems. So most times, you see, our parents want to be philanthropists, and you have not built the wealth to help people. You can't be among the poor, you can't become poor by trying to help the poor. For you to help the poor, you must have stand firm, then you can help them well. But in this system, you want to help people when you don't even have the funds. So you are trying to pull people out and you are now drawn in it. So realize that the person just started a business. Business is picking up. Before you know, family, younger brother, uncle, and payment, this, before you know. And because they are sentimental, most of them are not business people. Now we are trying to put that business into people that know. So my mom is very hardworking, very smart, but the business went down. So it was not because you are not smart. It's because there's a part of you that wants to just help people, but not knowing that you have to build first before you can help. You have to be strong to help. You have to stay fit to help other people. But when you have not even carried yourself and you are pulling other people. So before you know it, it consumes you and your immediate family suffer more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a serious thing. And that part is even the reason I went into coaching, because I remember I also became a victim of that, because most time what your parents pass through, you later become victim of it because that is your experience. Until you are intentional about it, you say, I want to take it out. I'm like, I even said I don't want to do business, because my mom is like, business is for people that are suffering. That's what I feel. Because my mom suffered a lot. She will buy on credit. She will use it at the end. She will use it to pay school fees. Before you know, it's finished. Before you know, I say, no, I'm not doing business. Even though I know I was gifted, she will say, Nancy, you're a business person. I say, me, I'm not doing, I want to go and work in the bank. Because I saw bankers as people that they were wearing suits and the money is there.
Yeah.
So, but along the line, I started working. I just find my way back into business. And I realized what happened to my mom started happening to me. My money started going down. So because I love numbers, I mean, numbers is banking and finance, and I love numbers. I'm part of the children that love mathematics. So I always check. So when I started my business, I checked. One day, like 3 months into my business, I took my books. I started checking. I said, I've spent over 500,000. I spent over 500,000 at home. So when I'm married already, I got back, my husband, I was telling him that, do you know that I've spent over 500,000 in this time? My husband was like, where did you spend it? So the thing pained me. I'm like, no, I'm not going to spend my money in this house like that. And if I'm going to spend it, I'm going to give him like an invoice to see that this is what I'm spending. And that helped me to grow better. So I got to a level where, and I realized that every month ending, I have a template that I give my students. I check my financial position. If you are listening to me, if you can check your financial position every month, your eyes will be open to a lot of things. I'm working with a brand now, and we check their financial position is in minus, maybe 28 million. That means they are owing. Despite the fact that we have millions of naira in the bank account, it's not their money, it's bank money. But the CEO is still spending money, like he's still chopping life. When I gave him the financial position, he said, no, he stopped automatically. He reset his way, like, I don't even have money. So that brings you to the consciousness of not spending it anyhow every month. And that's what I used to grow my business. Every month I would check, okay, now I'm in 1 million. Okay, 400 has added, thank God. Next month I check again, I'm 2 million. I've added 1 million. Next month I check, I was checking until I was growing. And I got to a level where I said, okay, I can pay myself a better salary now. I've made money, I've accumulated. But when you are not checking, an average human being has that mind to want to help people, just want to solve problem for your sister. But the truth is, the Bible says the poor you always have with you. You cannot help the poor by being one of them. Let that sink into you. Because what a lot of people do is they suffer their children. And I tell people, you can afford to be reckless with the money that is to you. That means if you pay yourself salary at the end of the month, give it to your brother, spend it anyhow. That's true. But you see that business, don't do it just because of your immediate family, your wife and your children. Or your husband and your children, just sacrifice that for them. So I told my sister, okay, if we pay you any amount, just give it out. Don't buy any clothes, don't eat, don't do anything. But when they now start when they now realize that the impact of that giving is on them alone, they start to change. Because it's clear, it's glaring, it's clear. And we'll be able to create a system, financial system, where you know that you see this one, it's not your money, you can't touch it. You see this one, yeah, every month, let the account go. You will see that every business in Nigeria can take a new turn. I am a living testimony. I started my business with 600,000 18 years ago. And I have built it and God has helped me. So I know what I'm saying. All the challenges we have on ground, we know government is not helping us. Infrastructure is not there. It has been there 18 years ago. We scaled through it. The bank was not supporting. It has been, even if I tell you stories, then you, I have plenty stories. I can talk from now to tomorrow.
Please.
When I started my business, I started my business with 600,000. Before I started, I don't know how I got that idea. I felt I should inform everyone before I launch. So I pick a date ahead, like 30 days. I'm going to launch on the maybe 30 days time, 1st of October. I started going all around my estate, telling everyone, oh, we sell a charge card there. We're going to start on the 1st. Come and buy from us. So these are, say, what is unique about you are starting? So I went back. I said, I have to give these people, I have to create a bait. I have to give them something to make me unique so that they can come. I started writing, there will be a lot of food and drink. And when you are doing freebies, you must understand your target audience. The people that want to buy recharge cards for me to resell, they are people below the pyramid. They are poor people. So food matters to them. Snacks matters to them. A bottle of Coke, one snack is cool to them. But now, if you are dealing with the rich, there is a strategy for the rich. The rich, rice cannot pull me to tell you to tell me to come anywhere now.
Yeah.
But you can, for the poor, tell them there will be food. So on the first day, I sold. I was shocked. Even me, I was selling. And I didn't have enough product. I have just 600,000 Naira product. I went to restock 3 times that day. Yeah. I would charter bike from here to Ikeja Computer Village. Run, pick the stock. People were waiting for me because I also have drinks and snacks to share. And if you don't buy, I'm not giving you. It was a business deal.
Yeah.
So I sold 1.8 million the first day I opened my shop. So that alone gave me encouragement to say, Nancy, go ahead. So I want to tell you, you can set up your starting up in a way that you encourage yourself. We talk about take advantage of the low-hanging fruit. Who are the people around you that you can quickly say, oh, I do digital, I do editing, I do this, I do that. And they can quickly patronize you. And you can quickly deliver and encourage yourself from day one. I don't believe you have to stay donkey years to be successful. I'm not part of that school of thought. I believe you can start making progress. Not that you make overnight success. Huge progress. That first day, I made 1.8. The second day, because I've gotten all their numbers, in the morning, 7 a.m., I will craft text message. Good morning. I have opened and I have all products. By 7 a.m., I'm already sending it out because you must understand your customer buying pattern, their buying time.
Yeah.
So you know that you have to send them message before they buy. If not, if you go and send them message by 9, they've already bought, they'll tell you I've bought. But by 7, as they're waking up, they are seeing, I'm okay. Some of them will tell me, I was almost going XYZ. When I saw your SMS, I turned back. The next day, I did more than that. I did like 2.4. I started selling. And I would go to where I'm buying from. They saw that I was buying too much and I was always coming to reorder. They'll say, madam, let's give you credit. They will give me goods on credit. And because they gave me goods on credit, I didn't want my name to be dented. I'll quickly sell it and refund. It's like they started giving me huge credit without even knowing where I am. I was selling, returning, I was making money. I was adding the money. I would check my balance. Ah, Nancy, you have moved though. I was moving. And I want to tell everyone out there, business is sweet. You can make good money doing business in this country. I'm not talking of another country. This same Nigeria that we are. This same economy that is hard. But you must understand that nobody will create demand for you. You have to create demand for your product by yourself. Don't sit down and say, oh, I've prayed. It's good to pray. Oh, God will... some people will say, I get a vision from God. Yes. Do you know you can get a vision from God and the business still failed woefully if you refuse to do your part? One of your parts is creating demand for your product and services. Is your sole responsibility. Nobody will do it for you. I sat down, I started going from one place to another, creating demand, calling them to come and buy. I have opened though. What is unique about you? Then I went back to look for something that I can give them. You can create something today and you can begin to push. If you say, if you want to do business and you say you are shy to market, I'm begging you, you are not in the right profession.
I'm an introvert.
You are not in the right profession. Because business, the main duty of the CEO is to make sure money comes in. It's not all these operational tasks that you're doing. I want to go and do this. You can delegate those parts. Repeated tasks can be delegated. But you see strategic thinking. You can delegate it at some point, and you will also need fund to hire the right people to come and be strategic. Not all these people you hire. Some of us hire staff that were paying 30,000, 20,000. You want them to be strategic. How? Are they going to be strategic? They have the brain to be strategic. So you see, for all the multinationals, they pay those guys big money, and some of them are strategic. But you have to grow, and as you grow, you'll be able to afford them later. But now, your major responsibility as a CEO is income-generating activities. Write it somewhere. What will I do today that will bring you money? You see all of that tax. Oh, I went to pick the product. I drove to Kiami to go and buy the clothes. It can be delegated. Mm-hmm. Every other thing. But you see, income-generating activity, where money comes, you will sit down. I tell people that I would have made my sales over in the night when I wake up. I wake up by 4, already done my math, check how much this amount I want to sell today, because I have a goal for the month. I've already capped it to say I have to do this amount today. I've calculated, what will I do? What was yesterday's sales? Why didn't they meet up? Or did they do times too good? Well, so I've finished selling by 4 a.m. You are waking up by 9. You're just thinking that you have not even thought about your business. So my sales have been achieved that morning because I've looked at all the data, I've looked at the tendencies, and I've put it into consideration to say, okay, we won't do this again. So people are coming for this product more. We won't focus on this. So that I would have put it together and just send it to my team to say, execute on this. Mm-hmm. So they execute it, they will see themselves selling. They are not the one doing it. I've done the homework already.
Mm-hmm.
And when my team are not selling, they know, because I make them to understand the target that we're supposed to do. They will quickly reach out. Hello, ma. People are not buying now. What should we do, ma? They know. I'll tell them, okay, send me your report. When they give me, I say, okay, do this. Sales comes back immediately. So they know when they are not selling that they should reach out to me. So you are the one that will create the demand. And it is your responsibility to bring in income for your business. Stop thinking there is a magic that will happen. No business on earth that they started selling and they retained their profit. And that's how they got to where they are today. I mean, I can say it because I started with 600,000.
Mm-hmm.
And 600,000 became millions in your hand. It is the fact that, number one, you started telling people, come and buy. Your money is proportional to how visible you are. The money you are going to make in any business, it is proportional to how people know you exist. People will only buy from who they know. When they know you first, then they will not like you based on the way you treat them, the way your service is, your product is good, the quality, you're excellent. Then people only buy for who they know, who they like, and then they will now trust you. Once they trust you, you have gained them for life. But when they don't trust you, they shift to another person. So as business owner, don't be sitting and be thinking, government have not helped us, this one has not helped, my mother did not help me, my neighbor is not helping me, all my family are not helping me share it on social media. You are the most important person. Nobody has your time. So if you want to make money, wake up in the morning, start sharing your product. Don't be shy. Nobody will pay your bills. So when it comes to business, like for me, even though I'm already successful in telecom, so people will see me online and say, why are you making noise online? What is your problem? Now, that's, you are okay now. Say, you don't understand anything. That thing I'm making noise about, I'm still making money on in it too. And I'm also liberating people that don't understand what I passed through. Because I passed through a lot before I got to where I am. So it will be of waste if you also pass through it. If I have known it, why not just share it with you? So that you don't go through that stress of that I've been through. So those are the things. So you must understand business, there's money in business, but you must be ready to do your part. You must be diligent is key. You can't run away from me. Strategic move. Yeah. Know when to take action. Then last thing I'm going to say about this, maybe before you ask any questions, I don't know, is being proactive. Most of us in Nigeria, we are not proactive. We are very reactive. When they now say, hey, the thing has gone up, hey, it has gone up, what will we do? We are not claiming victim. Where you can be proactive and be a victor. In the industry where I am, sometimes the product is going to be scarce. You just sense the movement of the product. You know that something is going to be happening. That's being proactive. I could say, I'll just take a risk by stocking that thing with all my money. Mm-hmm. Before you know, they say that thing is not available again. I'm making good money.
Yeah.
You might say it's seen where you are sitting down. It's being strategic. Because if I don't buy it and keep it, somebody will still sell it to me more expensive that. And I will buy it and I will still resell it. So you must, as a business owner, you must be thinking. Sometimes, some conversations, some observation that you get, they are not even talking to you. I remember I went somewhere years back. They were talking, two managers, they were talking at this particular network, where their raw material is finished for this particular product to be printed. And they said it has not come from China. That means we will not have it for a while. They were not talking to me. But I overheard them. I ran. I called my office. How much do you have on ground? I said, move everything to their account. As we move it, and I told them, I want this quantity. Give me so quantity. They were like, why do you want to pack everything? I said, I want it. It just occurred to me that I want it. They gave me. From the next morning, they added 10% to that product from the supplier. So already now, me, I've made 10%. Then I will now sell as my own profit. People were just calling me. I was doing Shakara. I was telling people, I don't like your face. I'm not giving you. Because I have the monopoly at that time.
Yeah.
So you must understand these things. What gives money in business is your being attentive, sensitivity. You have to be sensitive to what is happening. So a lot of people say, and they will start blaming the system and saying, yeah, those people are bad. You are wasting your time. Be sensitive. You are doing business. Business is not, you are not playing. It's not an hobby. You must know what to do at the right time. And being proactive is also goes back to even your team. Some of us, if one of your staff resign today, now you talk on, you say, yeah, what they did to me is bad. But you know you can be proactive to preempt what your staff can do, and you protect yourself ahead.
Mm.
You protect yourself ahead, and that's what structures and systems do. You protect yourself because nobody is even meant to work for you forever.
Yeah.
If you have that mentality, it will help you to start putting a system in place, like document your process. Let me put it in a way that somebody else. But if you are thinking if somebody's trying to work for you forever, do you want your child to work in a place forever? Especially when your business is small and you know your business is small, it's not like it's giving the person so much. You want them to be loyal and work for you forever. Then you have to wake up and start making money so that you can continuously increase their salary so that they can stay. Because everybody wants to grow every year.
Yeah,
you can't be paying somebody 30,000 since 4 years ago. You are still paying her 30,000 and you want her to stay and you don't want her to steal. I don't know how you are going to do it. So you have to try and see in a system, irregardless of the fact that your business is small, how do I create a growth procedure or process for those people to say, okay, every month, every year at least, you can top it up with 5K. So they have something they are expecting. Okay, if I behave well, they will top it up. If I don't behave well, you will not get it. All those kind of things. Before you know it, you will grow and your staff will be happy. There's so much. Business is good. I'll tell anybody to tomorrow. Do business, but ensure you get knowledge. Knowledge is important. A lot of people don't know. I see a lot of businesses have opportunity. They are not taking advantage of it. Not because the market is not there. Nigeria is a big market. There are some international organizations milking our system. And we that we own it, we are just looking. They are milking. Oh, God.
You've said something about people are milking our system.
Yes.
But
they are not doing bad, though. They are doing business. No, they are illegal. It's not illegal.
Yeah, there was a data I had access to.
Yeah.
And it is FMCGs.
Fast moving commodities.
And it's declining by more than 16%
good
right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that, what I do with data is just extrapolate that information. It gives you a decision making mechanism or system with that particular data.
Yeah, looking at
now, trends. With that data, it tells us something. That the buying power of people is depleting by the day.
Yeah.
Purchasing power is depleting.
Yeah.
And lack of disposable income is a fundamental problem in this country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at those two things, are we going to say that some people are not really being patronized, not because the customers don't need the product, but because the customers don't have enough money to be able to fund, to be able to buy your product. And so apparently, in the grand scheme of things, you will, what's it called? Your sales will drop. And so how do you survive? How do you navigate that terrain, especially in these hard times that we find ourselves?
So in these hard times, the hard times is affecting both the employees and the business owners.
Yeah.
A lot of businesses cannot even restock because the price has gone overboard.
Yeah. And you see them, their price is fluctuating every now and then.
Yes. So for some of them, they can't even restock because the reason why they can't restock is they were not replying their cash before. You see, the reason why you retain cash is for these days like this. But now when you are making profit, you make 50,000 and you spend all the 50,000. Maybe for instance, your business capital is 1 million. You make 50,000 and you spend all the 50,000. You just feel that I will be able to continue to do the 1 million. But now inflation has gone up. What you can buy with 1 million, you cannot stock up maybe with 750. It now become value of 750. So there is problem already. So every business owner must understand what we call contingency funding, emergency saving. It's not like saving it somewhere. Just replow it back into your business. It will save you. In the industry where I am, I remember in 2008, where they did merger and acquisition, it changed the narrative of telecom industry. And some people lost their business totally. Like somebody that was doing like, I'm a big boy, just was out. Because we had credit facility at that time. So a lot of people just leveraged on the credit and they were spending their own profit. They were not saving.
They were not saving.
So we're getting a lot of credit. So you give credit in millions. So I have credit. So I got home one day. Me, I knew that it's going to happen that the credit will be withdrawn. And if it's withdrawn, you that you are doing millions, will you not go and buy 1,000? How will you even do it? The system, you have even outgrown it. Your system has outgrown it. Even your expenses, your staff salary, everything. So they were doing it. People would just get that money, spend it, do other. When this matter started, Maja and Kishon, and they started pulling out all the funds, the people that have cash, they grew like times 1,000% because they had the money. And they could sell.
Cash
the ones that don't have money, they could not do anything. Those people started selling, making excess money. Their daily sales, what would normally be their weekly sales, became their daily sales. So, you know, it's more money for them.
True.
But those other ones were out. So, in whatever economy you are, even when everything is rosy, you have to be able to replenish, you have to be able to retain profit back to your business. If not, you will have crisis soon. Then coming back to buying power, the truth is a lot of things has gone up. A lot of things has increased. So people need to look for other alternative source of income. Every employee, as you're working dedicatedly in your office, there are things you can do overnight. You can do video editing. You can do designs, graphics. You can do those things are made easy with apps. You can edit this. That tell people on your status, just start out, reach out to someone. I edit photos now. If you're going out, you can pick me out on Sunday. I can start. There are ways to make money. If I tell you my own story, I didn't even go in this regime. If I tell you my story, it still resonates with you. Okay, let me share. So I remember I grew up from a very poor home. My mom and my dad were like 13 in a room. So even today, I ask myself, how were we sleeping? My children used to ask. Even me, I'm asking myself. But we're 13 in a room. My mom was a trader. She wanted the best for us, but she couldn't afford it. Yeah. My father was trying, look for work today, no work tomorrow. But I decided to tell myself, I'm going to go to school. When I finished secondary school, my mom categorically called us down because she always have conversation with us. Like, you see, I've tried my best. Everybody will finish secondary school, but I cannot take you to university. I don't have the capacity. You know what? As you get to secondary school, just look for whether you want to learn fashion. And in those days, all of us like, fashion what? I don't want to do fashion. I want to go to school. And you know, those kind of things. So, but when I came out my own time, I just told myself, let me go and learn how to use computer. Computer operator was raining then.
Oh, yeah.
So I did computer operator 3 months course. I understood. I knew how to use computer. I started working. They were paying me 3,000. I told myself, I'm going to school. I started saving. I was earning 3,000 naira in Unity Road in Ikeja. And my boss was paying me 3,000, but I put in my all. My boss saw me. When I resumed there, my boss was not making profit because they do both business center and phone call. My boss said, every day my boss is lamenting, you are not making profit. I bought this call for 20,000. You people are giving me 10,000. What kind of thing is this? So one day I just summoned courage. I woke up and I said, sir, let me manage this phone call. Let me leave computer. Let me manage this. I can do it better. He said, okay, they gave me. So I realized that the lady there was not really stealing, but she was careless with my boss money. She was giving out my boss money without my boss consent.
But that's
La vida loca.
So those guys come to our store. Some of them are acting out. Some of them are chilling, all those things. So when they make call, and then you remember phone call was not like this, 250 per minute. They make 20. Your money is already 5,000. The guy say, please, I have 1,000. She'll collect 1,000. This one has made call. Talk, 20,000 call. International. You say, I have 2K. The lady will say, oh, you collect the 2K. And somebody was being burnt for that, my boss. And the reason why my boss had that issue is lack of structure. He also don't know what he has. And I tell business owner, inventory is a key part of any business. Don't think because you are not selling. My boss was not taking cognizance of what I have sold. How much will he relate? It was not, you just come back, the guy give her and say, I have 10,000. I just go and be crying. What kind of thing is that? So when I got there, I told them, the whole thing changed. Who will come and say, are you the owner? What's wrong with you? Is he your father? Is he related to you?
I just
changed the narrative for them. I say, sir, your money is 10,000. You must pay complete. And thank God that time, said, I'm a young girl, I'm 19. I've not even had a boyfriend before. Even now you are talking to me, and my mom used to say, those who live in glass house don't throw stones. So I was not even ready to even look at your face. Don't talk of even here. So they will come, when they talk, I'll tell them, I'm sorry, sir, you have to pay this one. They'll give me 2,000. I'll say, well, can I have your watch? Some people are wearing less watch. Big man, fat, tall, I'm small. I'll say, sir, you have to put your watch for me to get this money.
Yeah.
They now started telling themselves, the girl there now is crazy. Oh. She's mad. Oh. Mm. But they were paying. The first day I sat on that seat, I made for my boss 110,000 with that same 20,000.
Wow.
Jesus.
110,000.
Wow.
My boss screamed. I didn't understand what I've made. I didn't understand what I've done for him.
Yeah.
So the man, when I was going, yeah, take 500. This is Toyota Moto. Yeah, your salary is now 4,000. The next day I made 120. My boss said, your salary is now, until my boss made my salary 8K. And he said, your salary now is the same with the manager. I will increase it more than this 80, but I'll be giving you 500 every day. When I go to work, you give me, I was making money for my boss.
Wow.
I don't even used to look, even though you want to dash me money, I don't used to collect. Mm-hmm. I don't want to compromise. I'm not looking. I remember somebody wanted to give me a gift. I said, I love what you're doing. I didn't answer. I now went to give my boss a wristwatch and a bunch of 20,000. Then gave my boss and said, I want you to give her so that she knows that there's no intention, there's no motive, because he's a man. My boss said, take it now. Maybe I'm the one that give you. I'm here. I'm your guarantor.
Yeah.
Like nothing will happen. So, and I realized that that's when I also learned from my mom's business, from my boss. I realized that business owner, most of us are very careless. What is eating money in your business has different areas. I tell people there are different areas that money. And if you can pay attention, your business has money. Imagine my boss changing. He not started buying cars. My boss was not enjoying life. Like. But the same business, because somebody was using herself, being, you know, self-pity. People just feel that, see, when it it's not being wicked or being harsh. When it comes to business, discipline is key. A leader must have deep discipline. The people subordinates must have, then you must hold your staff accountable. I tell people, I cannot do any business that I cannot be checking and be counting. If you know with telecom business, one of the things that happened there is theft. They steal. My staff has stolen 4.5 million from me before, but because I am detailed to details, when I went to police station to report, I listed out all what I'm looking for, what was missing. And when we went to search, we got search warrant, go to our search, we saw the product. It was the same with what I listed. The DPO say, madam, I give you hand. And I tell you, imagine I was not checking. That 4.5 million would have gone like that. And so many business owners are experiencing theft. You feel you are not paying your staff well. When I tell you, pay your staff minimum wage. I don't have the money, but the girl is stealing half of minimum wage every day. You understand?
Yeah.
Sometimes spending wise, spend foolish. Just do the right thing. Invest in structure. Invest in system. Pay the people something that is a bit okay. To even make them to have sanity so that they won't steal. You hear somebody say, I don't have the money. Then the girl will now steal 8 million. And, but you say you don't have the money. There was one on Instagram. The lady stole 8M. And the business owner did not know. How does 8 million leave your business and you did not know? It's sad.
No, but question I say, just to stay on this stealing of 18.
Yeah.
Because I've run businesses around two of the cinemas here in Kenya.
Okay.
And one of the things I encountered is
theft.
And I have zero policies against it. If you are coming to steal, don't work. I tell them the best way to generate revenue is take letters, go to school, tell them to come and do an excursion. Once they come and do an excursion here, I'll give you 5% of the money you bring in.
Yeah.
That way you earn more money. But the fight I faced from the workers, because cinema was open for you to steal.
Mm.
You can sell concession items, you can bring in your own concession items, you can take tickets. And you don't remit the ticket and you tear the ticket.
Yeah, because the ticket was not accounted for.
No, it's
or they print their ticket.
No, it's like this.
So even add to that, I heard of something. Sorry, hold your thoughts. Yeah. I heard of something that happened in one of the largest supermarkets in Nigeria. Yeah. Everyone knows that supermarket. The person came in with the salesperson came in with her own POS.
Yeah.
She had, as at the point they caught her, she had stolen more than 100 million naira.
You see, that is a poor
system. She came in with her own POS. And that's, this is a system.
But how do you combat that?
And the POS ran for one whole month.
You see?
until they found out.
And now my concern is, thank God I'm on there.
Continue. Yeah.
My concern is that organization will say they have an accountant.
Oh,
that accountant is he sleeping or is he they connive with him?
Hmm.
It, see, financial management is very simple. It's not hard at all. I have 8 branches and we do volume every month. And I tell you, you can't steal from my business. It's not that you cannot steal a cobble. I've helped my student to recover stolen money. I remember a lady in Asaba. She sells shawarma. So she cried to me that I make sales, but I don't see my money. I'm owing everybody. I told her, I know your problem. We analyzed and I told her, let's get the exact quantity produced with exact products that we bought. So she brought the product in. I say, mix it. She mixed. I say, by yourself. No staff. Some businesses now are very lazy too. I said, no staff should help you in this verification. It is for you. After today, you will rest. But this one is you that will do it. She mixed all the old raw material. We counted. She was able to come up with about 120 shawarma. So I told her, we did another one again the next day, 121. So we're between 120, 121, 122. So I told her, just peg it at 120. If they see to eat, let them eat that. So no problem. So I told her, don't go to work the next day. From the 7 day after, she didn't go. The first day that she didn't come, this week they stole 21 out of it. 21. Whoa. They shared the money. So because we know what we have done, we put system in place, we know what we have done. So she went, immediately they closed, they sent her report. I said, we are not waiting till the next day. They are going back to the shop like that 8 p.m. Go and meet them. We met them. We say, hello, bring out all your... This is not correct. Yeah. I have been here since Monday and it's remaining 21. They were looking at them face like, how did it turn to witch? We've been doing this thing for years.
Mm.
So one of them is a new star. That one was rejected. She was shaking. She was scared. She has not collected a day she was stealing. She just confessed and said, man, they gave me this amount. So that was how she confessed. And they all brought back the money.
Mm.
And she told them that you can't steal from this system. Please, everybody respect yourself. Because I told them, don't fire them. Don't fire them. But if once they know, the reason why a lot of people still insist is because they know you will not know. You don't know what you have. You are not checking well. That's why. Once they know, you will know that they stole. They will not steal. Even the thief will avoid it. So just be on top of your game. That supermarket that had that issue, it's either it's conspiracy or total carelessness. And I tell business owners, one easy way to even know what is happening in your business in 1 month, so that in case you don't know how to do it, you'll be looking for help. Who can help me? I need somebody to come and help me because I have issues. It's the fact that you know your net worth every month. If I check my business, how did I know that 4.5 was missing? I lost my father-in-law because I balance my account every day.
Yeah.
So I had to travel and we stayed 2 weeks. So during the period we traveled was when they stole the 4.5. The lady was taking the goods from that branch. She didn't know that we know what we are giving you and we know what we are expecting. So when I came back, my manager was saying, that branch is confusing now, that everything is not correct again. I said, don't worry, when I come. So the lady that said, was not pressing that she wants to go for appendix operation so that she will not come. I said, you can't go anywhere until I reconcile. That's the policy of the organization. If you are going to stop working, there's no problem. But if you don't reconcile and you go, I will carry your guarantor and they will pay me any difference I have there. I've written it as part of my policy. I'll carry your guarantor. So once you are resigning, you have the right to leave, but you must balance my account before you go. So she now waited. I came, I balanced. When I balanced, I saw that there was issue. We have 4.5. So I just called in the police at once. The two of them, these two, it's between these two girls. I don't know. This one was crying. Police said, this is not this girl, it's this girl. And immediately police got right, took the search warrant, went to her house, we brought all the goods. All. Ooh. Complete like this.
So she had not sold anyone.
She has sold inside. She has sold some. So the cash was also inside the bag. So they just brought everything to the police station. Police said, do you want to? I said, I'm not doing court case. Give me my product. I don't do case. Give my product. I took my product back to the store and I've helped a lot of business owner recover money. A lot, plenty. Staff, they steal a lot. And I don't blame them. Yeah. It's because the business owner, we are not checking. We are concerned with activities. Oh, I have to cook the rice. Hello, you can put a standard operating procedure with your rice cooking and it will come out. I used to ask people, all these big organizations that are cooking good food, do you see the owner cooking inside kitchen?
Yeah, they have recipes.
I don't want to call names. Yeah. Do you see them? You have a standard recipe process. Follow it and give them. Then focus on what will not make your money, your business go down. So a lot of business fail every year because of one of the reasons is this. High theft rate is high. Nigeria, we don't have data enough. If not, our data for, yeah, because for US, the last time I checked was maybe 43% in retail market. Nigeria will be like 80%. Then the stealing will be here.
Okay, so, Kwenyasi, I think we'll touch more on strategies and systems and structures to combat stealing and also grow a business.
Yeah. Yeah.
But first of all, we have to take like a quick break.
Okay, good.
So when we come back, we'll dive into that.
Yeah.
Welcome back, guys. So we stopped our systems and structure and how to combat theft. Yeah. And I was giving a gist earlier on. So stealing in the cinema industry is very easy.
Yeah.
I can walk up to the cinema. Instead of going to the counter, I will go to the guest standing at the door and I say, I want to watch a movie.
Mm.
She'll be like, okay, one movie. I just tell her the movie that I show him. She takes my money. She opens the door. She lets me in.
Okay.
And for you to combat that kind of stealing, you have to go and sit down with CCTV every time to watch how many people come into this hall. But the moving part of the cinema business, you as a manager don't have that time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a key part. So my question to you now, Coach Nancy, is for a small business owner starting up, we know that this culture, it tends to go this way. Let me not generalize to say Nigerian still, but this culture tends to go this way. What are the processes and systems we put in place to combat all this stealing?
So number one is you must have policy. No matter how small your business is, creating policy is not a complex thing.
Mm-hmm.
You just need somebody to put you to in terms of your industry, your peculiarity, the kind of staff you have. You know, there are some small businesses that the only people they hire maybe is illiterate. So there is a way you make your policy friendly with them.
Mm-hmm.
What I realized, a lot of people just go and copy a big grammar policy on Google and be giving somebody. So it does not work. It's not in alignment to what you want to do. So what is policy? Policy is just rules and regulation, don'ts and do's and don'ts of that organization. But one thing that makes policy balance with staff is where the policy is mutually beneficial. Where you have bonuses, reward, performance, other things in it, not just only rules, not just something to favor just you as a CEO. You should also have something that caters for them,
especially
when they do it, when they work well. And most times you have business owners that some of them that even have these policies to say this, they don't keep to their words. So that's another problem for another day. Now, policy is one. There's number two, you must be good with your inventory. There are simple ways to be on top of inventory. I'm not talking about, sometimes some of these professionals make it look cumbersome. I've been there. When I wanted to get it right, I actually paid for them. When they came, they were saying, go this way, go this way, go this way. I say, buying and selling in this. All my customers will go. When you tell me to be running around the race. So I have to sit down myself and develop a system that will work for the peculiar people I serve. Most of my customers were illiterate. So you now tell them to do this one. They will just say, I'm not going. I don't divide there. So you must understand this peculiarity. Then you break it down to that context. I'm telling you, you can do it. Then number two, as a business owner, you must be determined to be disciplined. I always use God as an example when I talk about discipline. There is two-sided love. It's either tender and tough. Tender, which is empathy. Tough, which is discipline, firm discipline. These two characteristics will come at the same level playing. When you are playing, when you are making things easy for them, you are also firm with what they are not doing right.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can achieve it is policy. You can't achieve it just talking to them because emotion will creep in. But when you have policy and you have a custodian of that policy, not you as a CEO, let somebody be a custodian. The person also checkmating you to say, man, no, that lady was rude to the customer. And because sometimes the CEO loves her specially, he might wave her own and now be focusing on only that lady. So like, you are always, but with a custodian in-house. And that's what HR is supposed to do. But for small business owner, you don't have money for HR, don't worry. One of your sales girl can be a custodian of your policy that you wrote small. Somebody you feel that has leadership traits among them.
Mm-hmm.
You, this is the policy. These are everything. Oh yeah, hold it. If anybody messed up with this thing, write it down. At the end of the month, we look at it and know when it comes to appraisal time, when it comes to things, we factor it in. Because a lot of us leave these things, and when it comes to maybe end of the year, you are increasing salary. The lady that is very rude, you increase her salary with the one that is decent. You are telling me to be rude next time. You are telling everybody to misbehave. But when you begin to say, oh, so-so person, 70%, she has been good. Her attendance is okay. Her dressing is intact like this, and she scored 80%. So she deserved the increment. This person got 30, so she will not get it for this year. So work harder next year to get it. Your staff will behave. Like me, I don't have any mad staff anywhere as I am. I used to ask when I don't have policy. They stress my life. I would cry. I would say, what kind of trouble? But immediately I understood structures and systems. Me, I don't have any, but they will weed out by now. They will run away. I say, I can't work in this place by themselves. So we talk about policy. We talk about accounting systems. But you don't have to, because a small business might not be able to afford a software yet. Get a notebook. Understand your stock. So, understand what is sold. And let me give you a simple thing. If you are online and you are listening to me now, take your pen. In the morning, before you start your business, take stock of what you have. In the evening, take stock of what you have, what is left. Subtract it. That is what you have sold. Whatever the price you are selling, multiply it by each of them. Sum it up. Your cash should balance with that. That's simple. That's the simple thing. If you are doing that every day, your life is going to be in order. If you now realize that, oh, we made 10 shawarma and we sold 3. I have 7 left. 3 is sold and each one of them is 4,000. That's 12K. If you have 6,000 in your box, you tell yourself, please, where is my 6,000? If you have 12K and my money is complete, it's not like the way people make it complete, it's not that complex. But as your business begins to grow and your product begins to have a variety of products, you might not be able to do it that way. Then you need like using a software to edit better. I have a book I did there for small business owner. I sell it 5K then that you can just write. You already put it in tabulation. With that, you can know your profit. So when you know you sold this 6,000, you know the cost price is 4,000. You write it, write the difference. You sum it up. So when you now want to spend money from the business, you look, today that 4,000 I make, I can't pay this 10,000. I don't have the money. Your life. When somebody is now asking you, please give me 20,000, you look at it. I did not make 20,000. Even though you have 500,000 in your alert, you know it's not your own. You know it's bank money. You know that this 10,000 is the only thing I got. So I can't help that person. Then you begin to tell yourself that it's not that I'm bad. I'm not bad. It's the reality. But when you don't know, you just be thinking, what is inside your bank? When somebody asks you 20, just 100, you just be giving without checking. So policy, accounting system, your inventory. In special case, then you must carry out due diligence for your staff. Due diligence is key. Nigerians just see people on the road, hire them, and start giving them key. Tomorrow, you say somebody killed this person. You just saw somebody on the streets. You have not investigated who the person is. You have not checked. You give the person the key to your life, the key to your house, or the key to your store. You're taking too much risk. So for me, I would rather pay a legal person that I use. They don't charge me too much. Please go and verify this person for me. I don't want too much relationship with me and their family. Because if I go, you now turn to your boss is my family, auntie. I don't want, I'm doing professional business, please. So I get somebody else to go, they check, verify where they will talk to the guarantor on phone or we go there. This person, do you know the implication of? Don't tell me they just use my picture and passport. I don't do that. Verify, due diligence. What you are standing for, you are saying this person will not steal, and if anything happens, we'll come back to you. The person, some of them, when they sign, they will want the person. You don't steal, no, they will want them extra for you. Those caution, you need it. Due diligence, inventory, policy, then you as a business owner, you have to have discipline. You have to have discipline that whatever I've put in place, I'm going to stay by it. There are other things to make structure work, like creating your, documenting your processes, to make sure that, oh, as you do this thing, this is how we do it, because there is a culture you are trying to build. All those things matter. Then also, if you are into production, you are into food making, creating standard for your food. Write, documenting your recipe to know what exactly you use to make food and if there is consistency in your production. Not that today your jollof rice is concussion, tomorrow is jollof rice.
Well, people who fought that narrative, though,
okay,
or that doing the recipe stuff, because they'll say, you steal it and go and open your own.
Mm-hmm. There is a way we do it. We call it protecting your trade secrets. Now, how do you protect your trade secrets? You look for important part of your recipe that only you will mix up. See, they can know that, oh, you use this particular seasoning to make the food, but knowing the exact quantity is another thing. Mm. So that part in your own closet, you will mix those things up. For instance, let me give an example for somebody listening so that you don't think I want you to pay me. Just take it for free. So now you can look at, I want to make jollof rice. Maybe you use grounded pepper, use crayfish, and you use maybe any seasoning and salt. You can do those measurements together and call it Nancy recipe. So at the point of their cooking, they will just add that. They will not know it, but they know you use rice. You then you have to check timing. You put groundnut oil on the fire for 2 minutes. You add pepper after 1 minute. You add this. You will see that consistency. One of my students in Ghana, she did it. She was screaming. She said, ah, coach, my staff can cook my jollof rice now. I can now rest. I can now sleep. Mm. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. That you can do it. If any of the big brand can do it, you can do it in your own small way.
Yeah.
You don't have to waste money. But let's understand that management of your fund is key. Don't, because a lot of people are waiting for how to do it big. You can do it small and grow. And as you grow, you can expand it. So protecting your trade secret is something you should do for yourself. Look, an average staff working for you, sometimes they are even spies. They came to spy on you, so you don't know. After 1 month, you realize that they've opened your business somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So, I was discussing with a friend of mine who had the trade secret for one of the
top
FMCGs.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to... I won't mention their name.
No mention.
But they prepare liquid soap. They are the biggest in this country.
Yeah.
If you can think deep, you understand.
Yeah.
Liquid soap for washing dishes.
Thank you.
So another company took...
That's the problem.
And took that trade secret.
And produced it.
That company, the name starts with a figure. So that's just how I'll just put it. They start with a figure. So, and they gave us the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So investigating, he now said that, because he took over from the role, and he said that what happened was that they weren't very conscious, as big as they were.
They were not very conscious of the fact that could happen. Yeah.
And they didn't have a non-disclosure or something.
They
had a normal staff policy,
yeah,
but
they didn't put non-disclosure.
They didn't put, and the person raked in a lot of money, and that particular company right now is competing with them.
So you can see how massive that is. So one of the things I want business owners to understand is pay for knowledge.
Mm.
Pay for knowledge. Go and get knowledge. Because you can be a victim of what we're not thinking about, and that's what proactiveness is. So now, one of the things I also realize is that sometimes even the staff that will start your business, if they don't know your recipe, they might even have an idea. But because you are not sure, you can't compete with full chest. But now this guy is sure, so he will compete with you and say our own is better than, because he knows what his boss is using.
Mm-hmm.
But when they don't know what you are using, they compete, they can just be competing gradually. Their competition will not be like stiff.
Yeah.
But when somebody knows your recipe, they will come with all full force. So because you can't really hold people from not starting your business, but know your recipe, hide it. And sometimes I remember a lady selling hair, and she was like, hey, coach, I don't, it's going to be stressful. I said, no, you get your hair from Lagos Island.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you get the hair, you allow them to supply it to your store. You are too loose.
Mm.
How can they supply it to your store? This sales girl that is selling it for 50,000 knows that the supplier bought it for 20. So tomorrow you will say they are stealing your money or they are boycotting because you allowed it.
Collect the supplier's number.
You allowed it.
Yeah.
She saw the invoice, she collected it. Even though she's not going, she can send her sister to say, buy for me. And she will start your business thinking. So I told her, that's an error you have made. But you have to correct it. How do you correct it? Let your supplier, they can deliver it at home to you. When you receive it, remove your invoice. Keep your invoice and send the goods to the store. The girl never, some people, so it depends on what your trade secret is. If your trade secret is your supplier, mm-hmm. For some people, their trade secret is their supplier. Your staff should never ever know the supplier for life.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that even though you are not in town, you will look for a trusted person that, or you buy enough to give them. You will never let them come across. So when she started doing that, the lady resigned and was like, she's feeling that she's stealing. Already, she was already selling to the madam's customer. So she has to go. And now she got it right. She's in Canada now, but she knows that nobody knows. So they send it to the house. When they send it to the house, did you instruct the person that they send it to? The husband will remove the invoice, keep it aside for her, somebody else will come and pick the only the product and take it to the store. Mm-hmm. So you are conscious of that. You mm-hmm. must protect your trade secret. Look at the big brands, all these liquid, all these drinks. There are some of them, you don't know their trade secret. So people have tried to copy them closely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they are still not, they are still afraid because they don't know their trade secret. They might have gotten it right. But because they don't know, they are still feeling that those people are the top people. So we must understand this as business owner. We must not take some things for granted. If not, we'll lose our brand, we'll lose our business. And rivalry is not easy because I've faced it before. And that's why I can teach it. Mm-hmm. I faced it. My staff started mm-hmm. my business, two customers. But that's, I have plenty of stories, but don't worry, next time
I'll yes. So talking about business, I've never shared this before anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was in school, Delso, I wanted to start a clothing business.
Okay.
So before going back to school every time in Lagos, I'll go to the Lagos Island. And I'll look for clothes. I'll buy clothes. I wanted to be the Lagos boy and stuff like that. So I buy and I take to school and I wear. People say, "Oh,
I like this your stuff.
So, and I said, "Okay, I can sell this stuff in my school group." So I took a picture and I uploaded it on my school group chat. Then the feedback I got was like, "This Igbo boy don't come again." Everything they said, and it made me stop. It pulled me back, and I realized that okay, if I had consistently do more, I would have created my own market and I would have been the biggest suppliers of clothes. Because I later started seeing clothes I was seeing on the Lagos Island in the school premises around the boutique there. So, my question is for a young man, for a young girl. In Uniben, in Uniport, because this content is majorly for them, because small businesses can be done from the ease of your hand now. For a young man and a young woman, in Uniport, in Delsu, in Uni Abuja, how can they create a small business that thrive and also coincides with their schedule in school? Because I'm very particular about them because they are in the market already. Because every time you go to school, you meet at least 100 people.
There's a lot of people in that market already. They're not even doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lady on the island. She started from Bowen University. She's big because she's my client.
Mm-hmm.
Big. And she paid me millions to even attend. Big. And she started as a year two student. She sells on this in school.
Mm-hmm.
Her parents were importing. Now she's even bigger than her mom in the business. But her mom was doing it before. So wherever you are, you must just take advantage of the opportunity there. You are in your school, you realize that it's difficult to get clothing,
mm-hmm.
or you know that people like to jewelries.
Mm-hmm.
Start it. Get one or two. And it's easier now, unlike before.
Yeah.
Go to Lagos Island. They are even ready to give you pictures. They know everybody wants to do drop shipping.
Yeah.
They are group that you can join. You might not even buy all like before. Just get them, get pictures for them from them and put it on your status. But the way you can be more valuable to those people, you can have money with them. Instead of you taking goods, you can have money with them and say, okay, I'm dropping this 100K. Instead of you taking goods, I will request for what my customer needs. So which puts you on the edge of somebody that has not paid, I will just send that, so I want to pay. So for instance, if somebody likes two things that you post, just send that, oh, I want these two things, package it, they will subtract it from what you have. It makes it easy for you to quickly lock down the products. As you sell, you will stock. So you are not keeping unnecessary products because you don't know the one that will sell. But there's also a bad side to it. You can call and they say that stock is finished.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to come back to your client and say, this one is finished. Do you want this alternative? So it depends on how you want to market. But I want everyone to understand. I was even telling my daughter, she's in university, she's in year three. From year one, I've been pushing out. What are you going to do? What business do you want to do? I don't want to force business on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying your school fees. You are okay. Well, you must start earning money. It was a second year, she now realized, okay, mommy, I want to start doing this. And she has learned it. I'm going to do it for my class. I said, you have to be intentional. When you are not in class, you have plenty hours. Mm. You go to school from 10 by 4, you are back. You have six, you are not sleeping or gisting though. You can use it to do other things.
Yeah.
You understand? So for anyone, any student out there, me, I started selling from secondary school. If I tell you, I said my story is, but I started saying, because I grew up from in a home that I know my parents don't have, and sometimes I just want to help more. I remember I went to school in GS3 and I saw somebody find chin-chin on my street. I said, I'll pack this chin-chin and take it to school and sell it to my friends, because they bring money they bring break time, they have money to buy snacks. I'll buy 24 pieces, 2 dozen, put it in my bag, break time, I'll sell it. And I was selling, I'll take it back home. After 1 month, I've made some money and I went to use it to buy clothes. I gave it to my mom. My mom was saying, what did you do? I said, I'm selling chin-chin. So as well, for university, you even have a better option.
Mm-hmm.
I have a niece in Ekoma University. She does cake and she's doing a lot. Even some people hire her from Ekoma to Lekki to come and supply cake. I saw her, she did a cake and they paid her. So there's nothing, even the digital aid has made it easy.
Yeah.
Business is easier now. Before, for you to get adverts, for you to get your product everywhere, you know how much you pay. Mm-hmm. And you know the wahala. But now, from the comfort of your home, if you can break the spirit of shyness, you do your video every day. If you do it today, it's not clear. You say, God, I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you can just shout online, be strategic about it, people will see you and they will start paying you good money. A lot of people has built millions of naira from their room and they now use the money to go and rent stuff. They didn't have stuff before. I know plenty on social media. They didn't have, they were selling on this, they were selling maybe bags from the comfort of their bedroom. Today, they now have a blown boutique with the money they made from the store. There's so much money out there. I want to encourage every Nigerians out there. If you are listening to me, especially if you are from a poor home like me, there's money. Forget where you are coming from. Look forward to where you are going. That's your background. Don't let it hold you down because there's something with where you come from, a poor background. Poverty mentality. When you are thinking of anything, you are thinking money, money, money. Before they even give you suggestions, I don't have money. Money is not the first thing. Right. Accepting the idea, thinking through it first. Money is not the first thing. You will need money later, but it's not the first thing. But if you can do your job well, people will invest in you. Family and friends will give you money. People will when I needed money to expand my telecom business, it's somebody that said, Nancy, use my building to get loan. Mm-hmm. It's a serious thing. It's a level of trust. Use it. I use it. They gave me 40 million and I pawned it and I paid back and I returned. So that the person now give you a property now, you know, make them seize the building.
You're in Dubai.
So, coach, you said you made mention of the word invest, and yes. It looks like it's something that the MSME
they are not looking
segment
at, and
of our economy
good.
Is that investors do not come for them.
They don't come for. They don't have.
They don't get access to funding.
Yeah.
You go to bank, you're not even big enough.
Did they structure themselves that way? Sorry to cut you. Yeah. They structure themselves that
They've
way.
They've not structured themselves.
Yes, so that's what I'm asking. That what do you think is the reason?
So number one reason why most people don't invest in them is the fact that most business owners in Nigeria, they've not separated themselves from their business. So from afar, so people they will come and talk to me, I want to do this business, invest in me, I'll look at them, I won't tell them why I'm not investing in them. Husband and wife, all of you are putting your head inside the business. How will the business survive? So if I now put my 50 million, you will now use it to go and be paying school fees and change your children's school. So you look at it. So if you want investors, if you want the bank to invest in you, you want investors. People say bank don't give money. They give money, but they don't give some people. Bank give money. I'm telling you, when I started my business, I was looking for how will I get fun? I want to do more. I opened account in 27 banks. That time it was 27. All they would give you story, run it for 6 months, will give you. I run me tired, they did not give me anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when my business turnover grew, I got offers from about 6 banks at the same time, not in small numbers. And they also, you know, realize that banks say some of them they do due diligence because your account officer don't want to give somebody that would make them to come and carry a register. So if you have and they give you money, they see that you pay it back. To get to a level, they won't even ask you for collateral. They will give you more. I've been there, so I know what I'm saying. But most of us in this part of the world, so even see loan as gifts. Like if they give you loan, that they dash you the money. So they now spend the money and be running away. I will not pay. build credibility for yourself. It will save you tomorrow. Somebody that gave you building to say, oh, use it. You don't realize that as you grow, you don't need 40 NM anymore.
Mm.
You need 500 million.
The person will keep
that person
you.
Now will recommend you and say, oh no, she's trustworthy. But Nigerians don't know that one. They just want to eat the one they see. This one I see, let me destroy it. Build credibility. Even in the industry you are, somebody give you credit, you sell it and you go and use it to build that and say, hey, I'm owing, Nigeria is owing. What is that? At the end of the day, you now want people to give you more. Because when we misuse opportunity, we don't get it again. And you see, that's why some people they were doing well, later they started going down. Because they misuse some opportunity that came their way. If you use it well, you can build on it. Credibility is important. And Nigerians, as Nigerians, we have a lot of Nigerians that are trustworthy. I've seen them, and we have so many that are not. So we must begin to be, if you're a business owner, intentionally build trust for yourself. You need it. Because in the marketplace, trust or integrity is currency. You can take it to the bank. Just say, ah, no, okay, hey, I need to raise this fund. You call somebody and the person will just send you the whole money. Start the business. I'm telling you, people do it, but a lot of people have not fallen under that category. People have burnt all their fingers and their head and their hand in giving people fund. So that's the reason. Another thing is that most people don't even understand numbers.
What are the numbers small businesses need to look out for?
So
the major numbers.
The numbers yeah. You need to look out for first, your inventory.
Okay.
The goods. Number two, your sales. Number three, you need to look out for your overhead cost. What? And if you have your inventory, you have your sales, then your bank transactions. The fact that money is coming into your bank, going out, you must reconcile it. If you don't reconcile it, you will still be losing money. Because so every single month, they are paying to bank. That's why they can't steal their life. When they are paying to bank, they can still steal your money. The most important thing is that you must be ready to reconcile your business. And as a business owner, sometimes send mystery shopper to your store.
Yeah.
Send mystery shopper to your store. Don't send somebody. You realize that there are so many things you don't know. You realize that some people are using their own invoice. They branded it in your name and they are there. Some people are using their OPS. How will it take them 30 days to discover that somebody was using POS that is not the company's? That's total negligence. The negligence is high. But if you have somebody that you can, that's why there are some parts that you cannot delegate. Mystery shopping, I will not send somebody. I will just call somebody neutral. A friend that I know since 92, I just say, look, I want you to go to one of my store in Oshodi. Go and just buy. I'll send you money. Go there, enter, buy. If you observe anything, just try and do their video. They will go. They will come back and send you. Yeah. Your people are doing well. They didn't misbehave. But before we got to try, people were misbehaving. When they will not say, how did she know? I will not tell you who told me. You will just say, my madam is a witch or she's a ghost. How did she know? So you must, as a business owner, be proactive. I want to encourage every business owner out there. You are just starting. There is money in this country. And I'm telling you, until you collect your own, don't rest.
I like that.
Until you collect your own, don't rest. And don't, like what you said, when the guy said, Igbo, right, you don't
come again. Yeah.
Don't let people shame you because you are looking for money. See, be unapologetic about wanting to make money. Wanting to make money is one of the things that God gave us to do. Go and make money, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. It is money making, not only children, not for only giving birth. So when people come, like for me, I'm a female in my industry and I'm there. They will say, take it easy now. You're a woman. Why are you chasing? Still hello. Man. I'm a woman. How does it affect my money making?
Yeah.
So what I want you to know, don't be unapologetic. Be unapologetic about making money. Don't let anybody tell you, your own is too much. Be too much and make your money.
Yeah.
They will respect you and they will give you that regard.
Yeah, so before
we have a culture, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so before we call it a quick, just to add, I like going to my cinema space because good. It taught us about retail, and retail is business.
Yeah.
You're tracking your inventory, you know how much you're making, you're seeing your operating costs, you're seeing your utility costs. And the mystery shopper actually was a deal breaker for the cinema. They made it a culture.
Wow, yeah.
They sent somebody you don't know. It's when they are doing the general meeting every month. And they say, look at your site. Mystery shopper, one of your guys didn't dress well, one of your guys went wearing their name tag.
Yeah.
So every month you're at a lot.
Yeah.
And it helps build that culture. And I feel like you bringing it up now, just
give me that.
Money. So I feel like every business
should do it.
Should do mystery shopping.
You see something, you'll be shocked. One lady, I told her, do mystery shopping. The lady went there, they bought less of over $1 million. It was not in the record. When they went to the staff account, this lady, when she dressed, she looked like one village girl. People that steal your business, they don't wear big clothes. They don't dress well. They come low.
Yeah.
Because they know that if I dress too much now, this woman will know that something. When they went to check her account, 8.something million.
Oh.
A staff. Because the business owner was not checking. But she realized she had issues when she called me to say, I don't know how to do this thing. Please come and help me. You understand? You're not checking. You can't be selling. I cannot sell anything I will not check.
Coach Nancy, we have a part two. We definitely have a part two of this because it's a lot. The small business is a massive, massive segment of the Nigerian economy.
Absorb unemployment.
Yes. And okay, we have a culture. Who do you want us to have on this chair? And perhaps you can ask the person a question. So when we have the person, we'll ask the person the question.
The question I'll ask the person?
Yes. Who do you want us to interview? Okay. Which business leader do you want us to interview? And what question do you have for that person?
Maybe Ibu Kwaoshika.
Okay. And what question do you should we ask?
What I want to ask is the fact that when it comes to tax in Nigeria, tax, there's a lot of things that are not clear. There's a lot of back things.
Okay.
As she's a Christian leader, how do you avoid paying bribe in a country where everybody just wants a tip before they do anything?
Deep.
Everybody just wants a tip before
they, do anything. So how do you, and you don't want to pay bribe, how do you balance?
Before I close this show, you have to tip me. I need a tip. Anyways, it's been a great time, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Frankly Business Podcast. You know, we bring you value. We bring you business leaders who have been there and they've done that. And they come explain basic concept about what it takes to move a business from point A to point Z. And your guess is as good as mine. You know so well that Coach Nancy Nnamdi has done justice to the small, medium-scale enterprise in this country. So you can reach out to her on all social media platforms. Yes.
But actively on Instagram at Coach Nancy _ official. At Coach Nancy _ official.
Coach Nancy _ official. And big shout out to our sponsors, Romeo Pizza and Coldberry Ice Cream. Yeah. And then Kelechi, we turn off the engine.
Yeah. So like I always say, if you like, if you subscribe, if you share, we'll get more views. We'll bring in bigger guests.
Yeah.
So now we have to bring in Mrs. Ibuku Awosika.
Yeah.
So we can't do that if you don't know, if we don't build this community. And it's a community of like mind, it's a growth community. And we said in the last episode that we have a summit coming in next year.
Yeah.
And we are bringing in all this like mind into one room to answer all your questions and give you keynote addresses on how to better grow yourself.
Yeah.
We need to build a culture of thriving youth businesses in the country.
Yeah.
So we crash unemployment. So like, subscribe, share, please.